guest, speaker, author, podcaster, Jim Knight. Jim, thanks for stopping by. And you know what? I'm impressed because your story really starts with working with businesses, especially the Hard Rock. How did that happen? And how many years were you doing it before you went on your own?
Yeah, I appreciate it. Love your show, man. Thanks a lot for having me on. You know, Hard Rock was really more of a summer gig than anything else. I went to school to be a musician. I found out while I was there at university to make a living doing that, you actually had to be good. So I changed careers. I was a middle school teacher for 6 years and then just stumbled upon the Hard Rock job as a host. You know, my hair goes up right now and spiky, but it used to go down. I had a long mullet, as we all did in the 90s. And it was just a fun gig to be around some interesting characters. If you've ever seen Hard Rockers before with the tattoos and the piercings and the mohawks, it was just the interesting collection of humans, probably the most interesting I'd ever seen on the planet. And wound up staying there for 21 years. Out of those 21 years, I ran training and development for 16 of them and just opened up properties around the world, had an awesome team. And man, that's really what put me on the map to do what I'm doing now.
So who started Hard Rock, by the way, Hard Rock Cafe?
You had two guys, two founders. One you might not know, his name is Isaac Tigrit. He's from Tennessee. He was kind of a creative, innovative guy, pretty out there guy in a lot of ways. But Peter Morton was the other one. His father was Arnie Morton, who started Morton's of Chicago. So you had a restaurant guy, you had a visionary, didn't really like each other, to be honest with you, didn't last very long. And they wound up splitting the whole entire world and had two different companies, two different types of Hard Rocks until it all came back together in 96. But two guys started the thing in a Rolls Royce dealership in London. The very first Hard Rock, which a lot of people don't know that story.
New York's the one that really kicked it butt, right? That was the one that kind of set it apart, New York and LA, right? For Hard Rock.
It did here in the States for sure. And those opened up within a couple of years of each other. But the first one in London had operated 10 years before they even got to New York. So a lot of the British rockers, you know, the Beatles and the Stones and Eric Clapton, those guys knew about Hard Rock because they were hanging out in London. But for sure, New York really put it on the map with all the celebrities.
All right, so let's jump into specifically why leaving the Hard Rock after you did such development training to go on your own and be so successful. Definitely got to check out his website. It's unbelievable. I'm very impressed by you, Jim, in so many ways. It's hard to make me impressed for the people I interview on a regular basis, from celebrities to different people. But I'm like, holy cow, you really know how to put on a show. And that's huge. As a brand to put on the show, look at the hair. Okay. Yeah. I wish I had your hair, first of all, Jim.
There's visors for that now.
Okay. Well, I don't care. I'll go bald. That's fine. That's my gimmick. But yes, let's talk about specifically enough the transition to Hard Rock on your own as a coach and how you help businesses, because I'm impressed by the way you do it. You're really, your avatar, if I'm correct, is really looking at that operation sides of businesses that are really the lifeblood of a business. If you can't run that side, you're screwed with investors, all those things. Go ahead.
Yeah. First off, thank you so much for that. I appreciate it. And it isn't just an operation. To be honest with you, my stuff was below the surface. Mine was more people oriented. So human resources, training and development. So what I did at Hard Rock was very specific and unique and sort of perpetuating the culture. When I jumped ship in 2012, I mean, I love that job. If I could do what I'm doing now and still work for the brand, I probably would. But I had outgrown the brand in the sense that I wanted to go vertical. I wanted to do exactly what you're alluding to. How could I bring the thunder and amp up any company in any industry? And it's usually around culture, leadership, service, building teams. That's really the lanes that I play in. So you're right. I use the word edutainment. You know, it can't just be one or the other. You need to use both. And I take that mindset, and as a professional keynote speaker, I just talk at conferences and write books and play around in some other investments. But really, I'm trying to help companies. As a consumer, I am starving for people to do things differently with me. And I'm not the only one. I know everybody out there is looking for that.
And then so you look in the Hard Rock Cafe or certain ones that have that brand awareness, but so many companies don't have an identity. The founder goes specific things. I had a management consulting firm founder on yesterday, and I'm so intrigued by it because I'm just always intrigued in the other part of the business. I'm marketing and sales guy. Well, also a, you know, promotions kind of guy as well. But when you think about areas that are so difficult, and it's the reason why companies don't grow or they stay the same is all those areas, culture. If your employees don't want to work for you, they're not excited to work. Think about undercover boss, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's a perfect example of what you see in a company culture, human resources, all these different things. If it feels cold, especially after COVID, people don't want to go work. You don't make it. They're not staying, right? And you're not going to grow that company. You're not going to make money.
Exactly. And if I use your background, if you look at from a marketing and sales standpoint, there's nothing worse than you spending all this time, energy, effort, rigor, money to put people in an environment where it becomes mediocre or even worse, it's crappy. And I blame the boss and the employees. I mean, it's all learned behavior. So, you know, I, again, I'm in a parallel universe. I hang out below the surface going, if I can absolutely get my employees to fall madly in love with me as a boss or a brand, now I got it. Cause I don't need to have to manage every single area of the business. They're going to take care of all that on their own. And ultimately you want the exact same thing to happen for the consumer, the guest, the customer. You want them to fall madly in love with the brand. But the problem is, and you're sort of alluding to it now, there are so many companies that have focused on the product or the environment, yes, or the thing or the marketing or whatever.
Totally.
They miss the boat and go, it is about the humans. It's always been about the humans. You get that right, you'll have whatever culture you actually want to put into place.
And see, Jim, you're not niching because you have so many different areas when you talk about this culture. So many people want to niche to one area and say, I can't go into that area. Well, if as an entrepreneur, you can't learn that area, you better hire somebody to do it. But ultimately, also, if you don't understand an entire business, you're a business coach, and I'm sure you've run into it, where they've hired business coaches, and you come back and say, holy cow, they are missing such an important part, which is the part of everything. You know, like some people niche into, okay, just customer service, but it's the whole operations thing. And how many hours did you have to put in with your team going to the different Hard Rocks to understand having the employees motivated, having the vision, having the mission, and really speaking to a franchise, because each franchise has to be a blueprint of the other, or it's not going to be successful. It's not going to be the original Hard Rock. People are going to go and say, I don't have that experience. Is that what you kind of try to look at company culture when you're looking at if they have multiple restaurants or multiple businesses, that if you go from one office to the next, there's no differences?
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. If you had a single location or a mom and pop, they can control everything. They control all the nuances of the culture. As soon as you start getting into multiple locations, or in that company's brand with Hard Rock, in countries, 80 plus countries all over the world, with some franchisee who's going to run things the way he or she wants to, it becomes a little bit of an issue. So I think the answer to your question is I didn't have to put in a ton of hours as time went on. Mine, when I started off and I was by myself, a department of one, and we grew that thing to where it was a lot bigger, we wanted to put as many things in place almost to fake people into leadership. If they just followed through, not on a stick standpoint, you have to do this or else. It was on a best practice. Here's what I think works. I was very innovative, very creative. My team was fantastic. So that I think operators that were on the other side of the planet came to us looking, what else can you do to help us get better? So I'm not going to lie, I had a fantastic team where it got a lot easier in the long run, even though you would think most companies, they struggle because it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. It gets away from them. If you put in the right policies and procedures, and again, my policy manual was called Policy Schmolicies. We made fun of the fact we had to have them. We operated in the gray a lot. But honestly, these Hard Rockers are some of the hardest working people you'll ever meet. Right. And it just changed the way service, I think, is done in the public domain now.
You study these founders. For example, there's a great movie on Netflix about Spotify that is, I was really impressed with. There's different ones. I recommend if you're an entrepreneur and you're looking to buy multiple businesses at one point in time, you have to learn all the ins and outs of the game. That's why I'm like excited to talk with you, because I'm a sponge saying, well, if I had a company in this type of industry and I bought it, what do I need to look at? I look at, like, when I was working in marketing for ServPro, and I got to see the ins and outs of the operation, how it was run, and how the employees are happy. Who do you work with? Because look, you definitely have the blueprint. Is it specifically an area, or can you help any other business of a certain size?
Any business, and it doesn't matter the size. I talk sometimes in front of four people around a card table or 9,000 people in an arena. It doesn't matter. I've actually spoken for ServPro. I've been their keynote speaker before.
Really?
It doesn't matter. Insurance, banking, funeral directors, auto mechanics. Like,
is it more speaking, or you also bring more than just the speaking after you speak? Do you come back?
It depends. It depends. Sometimes if it resonates with them and they don't get freaked out from the shock and awe, the hair and the rock and roll and all that stuff, they'll bring me in to be a consultant where I can spend a little bit more time. I cut my teeth because of the training aspect. I'll give you one example. Print materials. People still do print manuals. And if you want to do that, that's fine. I created the versions that had almost no words in it. It looks like a comic book. I can show people what to do by just pictures. And then you start to think airline safety cards, Lego instructions, IKEA furniture instructions. They don't have any words. People know exactly what to do. So if you could be that creative, now I don't have to worry about people with dyslexia, English as a second language, talking to people on the other side of the planet. They know exactly what to do. These are the type of consulting things and coaching that I could do. But Neil, I'm going to go right back to what I was saying before. It's human behavior. If you just get the right people on board, if you hire a bunch of rock stars, things start to take care of themselves. Yeah. That would be my big pitch. Go out there and mine for people. They're going to be a little bit harder today than it is to find them, but they're out there and maybe somebody's already hired them. You're going to have to spend a little bit more time and energy and money to get them away from that brand. But once you get a rock star, man, it's unbelievable the work that they'll actually do on your behalf.
All right. Best place people can find information on you. Where can they go?
Yeah. Knightspeaker.com. My last name is Knight, K-N-I-G-H-T, speaker.com. All roads lead through that. You can find my books and all the training and programs that I have, but man, I'm just I'm a sponge as well. And I'm just so thankful that you had me on the show, man. It means a lot.
Well, definitely just go into my different social media platforms. You can share it now from the live stream, but then later it'll come out as a podcast, radio show. But ultimately, I think we're going to connect and do some other things together. I just can tell the synergy. Thanks again for stopping by.
You got it. Rock on, brother.
All right. Yeah. You're listening and watching the Neil Haley Show. We'll be back.